This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. The North Carolina Senate passed two controversial redistricting bills last week. First, Senate Bill 181 proposes new boundaries for Wake County's Board of Commissioner districts. The new boundaries match new school board voting districts in Wake County, and those changes had already stirred controversy and are still in dispute in the courts. The bill was introduced by Wake County Republican Senator Chad Barefoot, who argued that Wake County needs more commissioners to account for growing population.
The purpose of what we're trying to do is increase the representation on the board from 7 to 9 and to put the commissioners who already have to run from districts into single-member districts where those voters get to choose on their members.
But opponents say the bill is a partisan attempt to get more Republicans on the county board after Democrats won all 7 seats last November. Here's Wake County Democratic Senator Josh Stein.
For this body to interject itself into the manner in which the people of Wake County organizes its own government is frankly illegitimate.
All right, well, that's Wake County Democratic Senator Josh Stein debating Senate Bill 181 on the Senate floor last week. The bill now is headed to the House. So now we'll take a look at Senate Bill 36 that would reconfigure the Greensboro City Council. And we are joined by Amanda Lehmert, who is from the Greensboro News and Record. Amanda Lehmert, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, start by giving us the background on this redistricting bill, will you?
Yeah, so Senator Trudy Wade, our local senator, Republican senator, she introduced this bill that would, it's pretty extensive what it would do to Greensboro. It would shrink our the size of our council, get rid of our at-large members, make our mayor a non-voting member, it also extend the terms of our council members from 2 years to 4. So it's pretty extensive what it does.
All right, you talked about Trudy Wade, and she's your representative. Let's hear what she has to say about it.
It's a 7-district plan with the mayor at large. It's nonpartisan, and it's fair, equitable, and legal.
Legal is the part everybody would agree to. Fair, equitable, and nonpartisan?
No, local people don't really think so. I mean, basically, there is a possibility, based on the way the lines are drawn, that you would get potentially 3 Republicans on a 7-member board. And in Greensboro, we have about 19% registered Republicans. So that would be sort of an overrepresentation.
What is the cause for this? Why are they saying that you needed to change the city council structure anyway?
Yeah, I mean, the argument is, we've heard the same argument locally from opponents of this, that this is partisan. What Trudy Wade says is that this would give, basically right now we have 5 council, everybody votes for 5 council members. And in the future, if this passes, we would elect someone from a district. So she says, this allows people to get closer to the representative. You're representing a smaller district. So that's kind of her argument, that Greensboro, because we elect 5 people, we elect so many people at large, it allows some parts of town to go underrepresented.
Are there districts as well as at-large candidates?
Yeah, we have 3 at-large council members and 5 district representatives. But as it is right now, we have 5 council members, including our mayor, that live in the northwest part of town. It's a very politically active, very affluent, white, leans Republican part of town. And she thinks that part of town is overrepresented compared to other parts of town.
Since, in fact, most of those at-large candidates, as you said, are coming from this one place.
Yeah, it turns out in her new district plan, one of her 7 districts she's drawn actually has 4 council members in it. So that means if this goes forward, we'll have 4 council members fighting for a single seat.
But people are now voting in a district. So in addition to those at-large candidates, there is somebody kind of from their neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, the argument that people who like the way our council is right now say is that, well, we have at-large members and district representatives. So if my district representative doesn't respond to me, I can go and argue to the mayor or to the at-large members to get representation.
All right. Well, so there has been vocal opposition, as you suggest. Let's hear from Guilford County resident who attended a public meeting before the bill passed the Senate last week.
That you have the power to make this decision for the citizens of Greensboro is an unfortunate aspect of our state government, but it is a power lever that you don't have to pull.
That's Ann Fessmeyer of Guilford County. She was at a public meeting about Senate Bill 36 last week that would reconfigure the Guilford, or the, I should say, the Greensboro City Council. Big factor in this debate is the idea of guaranteed African American seats.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the lines draw is roughly three minority districts, or at least the potential for three minority candidates to be on the city council. So three out of seven is better representation than African Americans currently have. We have two minority districts right now. So two out of nine council members is a higher percentage. So there's some that argue, okay, that's a better situation if you are a local, you know, African American. Unfortunately, the trade-off there is that you actually dilute Democratic power in other parts of the city. So there's kind of argument going both ways. Well, if you think that Republicans can better represent African Americans than Democrats, then fine, this plan is fine. But if some African Americans have made the argument that Democrats have been allies of the African American community, so it's a better situation for Greensboro if we stick to the plan we have now.
And so there's an argument or maybe a complaint that you're trying to buy off African-American votes in this trade-off between Republican seats and Democratic seats.
Yeah, that's the fight that's been happening. I mean, Senator Trudy Wade has a pretty strong ally locally in Skip Alston. He's a former county commissioner, longtime African-American leader in the NAACP, and he has come out in support of this legislation, and he's gotten a lot of blowback from the African-American community. And actually, over the weekend, the local NAACP chapter kind of voted to say we don't like this bill.
We don't, but initially there was an executive committee of the local NAACP that supported the bill, right?
Yeah.
Tension.
You basically had a split. So our executive board is roughly 30 people. They're sort of the who's who of the NAACP locally, including Mr. Alston. And he and some folks who agree with him made the argument, and there was sort of a contention. We had an 11-9 split vote on the executive board, and they just decided had a split vote to agree to support the bill, which Senator Trudy Wade went and used on the floor, saying the NAACP, the local chapter, backs this. Well, the state board said, no, you can't back this kind of legislation without our say-so or without your chapter at large supporting you. Well, over the weekend, they reversed that, and it remains to be seen about whether the state NAACP will actually decide to endorse this legislation. I mean, they've been fighting a lot of things that they consider Republican overreach and suppression of voter rights. And so I think that they're going to look at this pretty critically.
Yeah, how much of that is in play here? The idea that, particularly for Republicans who worry about big government and its impact on local affairs, here they are in charge of the legislature doing just that. Is that any part of the debate here?
Yeah, that's been a huge criticism in terms of the opponents of this bill. I mean, I think there's two main things that people have pushed. I mean, one thing, what you heard Anna Fessmeyer say, and that's a thing that's been repeated locally, that Raleigh doesn't need to be telling us what to do. You have even Republicans criticizing within their own party saying, you know, this is big government. This is not little government. That's what you want, right? And so that is part of the debate. You have a big, strong push for a referendum to be added to this bill so that locally voters will be able to decide whether these changes actually take place. And right now, Senator Wade is not. She's been willing to consider that.
Not willing. So in the Senate, that actually the idea of a referendum where the people would decide, that was killed.
Yeah, it was killed. Actually, the Republican leadership there actually killed that amendment and did not even allow it to be considered or debated on the floor.
So it may show up in the House.
It will show up in the House. And actually, the Democrats in our delegation in the House have already entered a bill that would include a referendum, that would require a referendum for any kind of change like this made from the legislative level. And I suspect we will see that being brought up when it comes to the House there.
Senate leader Phil Berger also plays a part in this because of the fact that he's from here, I guess, is one of the dynamics in all this.
Yeah,
right?
Senator Berger is supporting this bill, and he is one of our delegation. He represents part of Greensboro, and of course, he is the most powerful senator in the state. And to some degree, if he backs it, it's going to happen. And so I think that's a lot of what we're facing. Anybody who opposes this locally is going to face a very strong supporter.
And there's another bill, right, in Rockingham County that is also under consideration. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Rockingham County, the school board there would be switched to a partisan school board. You know, Rockingham, you have a very strong Republican base there. It's a very conservative county, and yet the school board is nonpartisan, which kind of allows for more Democrats to be elected, and so that board is going to be shrunk in size and is going to go to partisan, so voters will get to see, you know, what the party is of the person they're voting for.
All right, Amanda, we will stay tuned. Thank you so much for talking with us, Amanda Lehmert.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
from the News and Record here in Greensboro. You can see links to Amanda's reporting on this topic at the website, our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to hear about a new biography of acclaimed singer-songwriter John Prine. Traces his life from his life beginning as a singing mailman to becoming a Nashville legend. And also, later in the program, we are going to hear from opera star Jill Gardner. She is here with us, and we will leave you from this segment with a little bit of her music. But first, I'll tell you that you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We have more just ahead. Please stay tuned.